We're just so blessed to have Lo and Claudia Wirtz with us this morning. We've been supporting them for quite a few years. I haven't seen them for 6 years. Some folks here, Terry and Ruth Ann, I think Steve and Joanne have been there since to Africa. And one of these days we make our way over there, but they're just so precious to have them. We're going to take an offering up for them. So if I could have the ushers prepare for that. And give generously to them. They have been traveling. I got a chance to talk to Claudia just for a minute. They said they've been traveling all over the United States, started in Long Island and working herself west. So they made it as far as Indiana. And the state that only has two seasons, summer and winter. We don't have spring and fall here. So it's good to see them. They've been in Africa for 39 years. Can you believe it? 39 years serving the Lord in Africa. So we're excited to hear about what they're doing. Ushers, come. And let's pray for them. Father, thank you for Join the Harvest Ministries. Thank you for Lo and Claudia. And we just ask blessings upon them. Lord, as they share this morning, let us capture the excitement that is happening there. Many souls being touched by this ministry. Father, we're so thankful for them. We ask blessings upon them in Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers, go ahead. And while they're doing that, remind you, next week we'll be back in Ephesians. How many have enjoyed our little journey through Ephesians? It's been just wonderful. And it occurred to me, Ephesians 2, we're going to be in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. We're only going to cover three verses, but it's just a tremendous. There's a lot in those three verses. It talks about being made alive together with Christ. We're dead in our trespasses. Amen. And we talk a lot about the conversion experience. How many are so thankful for conversion? But the thing is, God doesn't want us to camp at conversion. He wants us to move on to maturity. We've been made alive together with Christ. So there's a responsibility there. So we're going to be talking about that, because it says among who we were once led by our lusts. How many know we're led by the Spirit now? Turn to somebody and say, he must be talking to you. We can't make excuses. You know, when you go home, you're not going to pull your baby pictures out. Look at how cute a baby you are. Come on. We'd like time to go backwards, but it doesn't. So we have a responsibility. That's going to be an exciting time next week. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. I don't know who's going to start, but Lo Wirtz, give a new life welcome to the Wirtzes.
Wow, it's great being back. Good singing this morning. You know, it's been said that you can't have good preaching without good singing and good music. And so I'm really glad to be here and glad that we've all enjoyed the presence of the Lord through worshiping and music today. I have three things that I'd like to accomplish this morning. I'd like, first of all, to give thanks. Secondly, I'd like to give a brief update on the ministry. And then thirdly, I'd like to open the Word of God and share a passage with you today. So first of all, I want to thank you. I want to thank you in so many ways, at so many levels. There are several here that have been out to Africa to help in the ministry. Ruth Ann and Terry are hosting us for this weekend on your behalf, and I want to thank them. Ruth Ann is a fabulous cook, if you don't know that already, and we're really enjoying our stay with them and our visit. And Terry's going to be helping me with some practical things in the next couple of days. We're traveling America in a travel trailer, and travel trailers need work sometimes, so Terry's going to help me out. But we do so appreciate the support that you've sacrificially given for Africa, for the work of Joy in the Harvest in Africa. And so I just want to say thank you. You know, there really aren't the adequate words. But let me just start there this morning. A brief update: all of the ministries that you have been supporting in the past, and I can bullet point them quickly, the Destitute Camp, 42 profoundly handicapped Africans, the feeding center averaging about 350 street kids and elderly people being fed three meals a week, 58,000 meals last year, and we'll have even more this year. The computer school, we've just graduated our 4,400th student from the computer school. And with our diploma, which is now recognized all over the country, a person can go out and get a good high-paying job and lift themselves out of poverty, themselves and their family. And that education has been free to them. So we're really grateful, and your giving has helped sustain that ministry. Our community center, we built a big building. Terry's been involved in that, and it can seat 500 people, and it's used every week, almost all week long, for every kind of event you can imagine, training events, weddings, community events, and it's just a great witness. You know, we live in a land that is one-third Muslim, and at first we were going to call it the Ministry Center, but then I realized that if we called it that the Muslims couldn't use it, and we are trying to build bridges into the Muslim community to give witness to Jesus Christ in those places. So we changed the name to the Community Center, and the very first event that happened in the Community Center was a Muslim wedding reception. It was Claudia and myself and 300 Muslims. And so we really enjoy that ministry, and we see God really using it spectacularly. But in the last time, since we were together the last time, the big addition to the ministry has been a radio station. Radio in Tanzania is different than radio in America. In America, you listen to the radio on your way to work, and that's about it, right? You know, in the car. But in Africa, it's the number one medium. It surpasses television, newspapers, magazines, any other form of communication. 90% of all Tanzanians listen to the radio at least once a week. And so it is a very powerful thing. And we have the only radio station in Western Tanzania. And so we are so glad. It's the fulfillment of a 25-year dream. My first year as a missionary in Kigoma, I decided to have a class to teach people how to witness to the Lord one-on-one, to share their faith in Jesus Christ. And I thought that it would be five people for 3 or 4 days, maybe 5 days. And it turned into 60 people for 6 months. And I sent them out two by two to witness to the Lord. And two ladies went to a woman who was selling oranges on a bamboo table next to the road in town and started sharing with her. And she said, "I'm a Muslim. I can't talk about such things here. Come to my house tomorrow," gave directions. And the next day they went to her house. She was waiting. The windows were already shuttered. She grabbed the ladies, pulled them into the house, locked the door behind, and there were a dozen Muslim women in that house. They held them there for hours, pelting them with questions about Jesus Christ and about Christianity. One of the questions they had was, "How many times a day do Christians pray?" Then they said, "We know that there's a prayer that you can pray to change from being a Muslim to a Christian. We want you to tell us that prayer, and we're all going to write it down." And so phrase by phrase, they told them the prayer, and they wrote it down. And then when they got done, they said, "Now let's go back over that prayer. And if we were to pray that prayer, tell us as we say each phrase, what's happening inside of us and what's happening in heaven." When I got that report back from those two ladies, I realized a couple of things. First of all, that Islam offers so little to a woman, and that the women are spiritually hungry. And the second thing I realized was there's no place they can go to get the gospel. They can't go to a church or an open-air evangelistic campaign. But I thought if we could have a radio station in the secrecy and privacy of their own home, they could tune in and they could get all of their questions answered and they could receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I had another problem. And that was, what if their husband catches them listening to the Christian radio station and says, turn that off and don't ever turn that on again? It would all be for naught. So I decided that when we get a radio station on the air, we're going to put all these things for Muslim men on there. Programs about fishing and farming and sports and news and weather and things that they just couldn't live without, so that they can't forbid their wife to listen to us. When we first arrived in Tanzania, it was a socialistic one-party state, and the government ruled the country with an iron fist. There were no private radio stations. So we prayed and we waited. The government changed to be a multi-party democracy, and after a couple of decades, they started giving out some private radio licenses, and we were in line. We applied. Our application process took nearly 5 years. You've never bumped into anything till you've bumped into an African bureaucracy, okay? We got all done. Everything was complete. Our license was sitting on the desk of the Minister of Communication, waiting that her signature, one last signature, and our dream would come true. And there it sat, month in and month out. The regional commissioner, we don't have states, we've got regions, appointed by the president, when he'd see me, he'd say, hey, Lowell, what's the news on the license? Nothing, nothing, month in, month in. Finally, one day, he invited me and Mwenge, my sidekick, to his office, and he got the Minister of Communication on the telephone. And he said, where's our radio license? Now, this guy's a Muslim. Our radio, like the Christian radio station, got it? He says, where's our radio license? She says, well, Radio Joy? Yeah, Radio Joy in, for Kigoma. She says, I'm not signing that license. She says, they're foreigners. We don't know them. We don't know what they're going to do. And by the way, how well do you know them? And I watched the regional commissioner take the telephone handpiece and turn it around like a microphone and say, I know them very, very, very well. Here, talk to them. And he hands the telephone to Mwenge. And Mwenge is now on the phone with the Minister of Communication. And she says, wow, if the RC wants a license that bad, I can't refuse to sign it. Consider yourself licensed. And suddenly, our dream, our prayer, became true. It's been 6-7 years since our last furlough. We were just getting ready. Usually our terms are 4 years or 5 years. This is the longest term in Africa we've ever spent. And we got the license with the construction permit, and we had to complete certain things by certain dates. And suddenly I realized, no furlough. The Lord have need of this donkey out in Africa instead of America, okay? So we went to work, and we built Radio Joy. And I've got a 3-minute video that I would like to show you now. You'll see two towers going up. The first one is a microwave tower to connect our studio to the mountain, and the second is the broadcast tower. You'll see ditches being dug, and that's for our grounding system. And you'll hear the Hallelujah Chorus, which was the very first thing that our radio station broadcast on the air. So if we could play the video now. And Terry was the engineer in charge of taking a pile of water pipe and building a broadcast tower, okay? So your church has been intimately involved in this project. I just want you to know that. We were gifted 1,500 radio stations by another radio sets by another ministry called Galcom. They've got a solar panel on the back. They're fixed to only our frequency. It's the only station they can receive. And there's just an on-off button and a volume control. That's all that's here. And we were distributing these when that Muslim RC, who had gotten on the phone and got us our license, found out that we were giving these, all the destitutes at the destitute camp, all the boats out on Lake Tanganyika, and different people were receiving these. And he heard about it, and he called me back to his office, and he said, I've got a favor. I said, anything. The station's yours. He said, I know about these radios. I want you to call a meeting of all the pastors in your listening area, in this big listening area, and all the imams from the mosques in your listening area to your community center, because the government has something we want to say, and I want you to be prepared to give these out. So we did. And there were all the imams sitting on one side of the community center and all the pastors on the other. The first time in history that these two groups were together. First time in history. We decorated the building in the colors of the Tanzanian flag, and there was a great sense of history in the room. They had an imam come up as a representative of the Muslims and give a speech. They had a pastor come up. Then they asked me to come up and give a speech. What would you say at an event like that? Let me give you the 30-second version of the speech. Right outside the building was the computer school, and I said, there are two great computer companies, Apple and Microsoft, and they hate each other. They're competitors. And I said, but last Christmas, the Microsoft employees all got into taxis and vehicles and buses, and they descended upon the Apple store in New York City. And when they got there, they formed a giant choir outside of the Apple store, and they sang a song. And the song they sang was, "Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me." And when the Apple employees inside the store heard this choir singing outside, they all got their coats and sweaters and jackets on, and they went out and joined the Microsoft employees, and they formed one giant choir singing, "Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me." And I said, today is a historic day. The first time our leadership of these two groups have ever been together. And may we mark this day by saying, let there be peace in Kigoma, and let it begin right here, right now, for the sake of our children. And I sat down, and then the government got up, and they said, Kigoma now has a radio station, and if the government has an emergency or urgent communication, we're going to put it on the radio station. Joy in the Harvest is going to give every church and every mosque one of these radios. And the government is hereby mandating every church and every mosque to monitor Radio Joy 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, wow, waiting for the government's communications. Do you understand your government? Look, we serve a great God. And he can take and he can use Muslims to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. He can open the ears, and we are witnessing so many Muslims being swept into the kingdom of God through the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, a third of our listening audience is Muslim. A third. 65% of the population listens to Radio Joy 4 or more, and in many cases, many more hours per week. When I have given that figure to some American broadcasters, they said we would kill for numbers like that. It helps being the only radio station, though. God is doing great things, miracles. And so we're so glad to be his missionaries in Africa. We're just coming up. The beginning of January will be our 40th year of being missionaries. And now let's look at the Word of God together. I would like to reference a passage in the book of Philippians, the 2nd chapter, the 5 verses. And let me read it out of the New International Version. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, and being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. Let me set the context of this passage for a moment. The Apostle Paul had completed his great missionary journeys, the three great missionary journeys that were led by the Holy Spirit to plant the foundation of Christianity in the then known world. That had been done. 10 years earlier, the Apostle Paul had founded a little church in the town of Philippi. And now the Apostle Paul, about 3 years from the end of his life, before his own martyrdom, he finds himself in prison. And when the Philippians heard, they sent a support gift to support their missionary. And the book of Philippians is a thank you letter to that church for their love, for their prayers, and for their support. Somehow, this passage seemed appropriate to me today. The theme of the book of Philippians is joy and rejoicing. 15 times in these short chapters, Paul uses those words. If you look at verse 1, you will see that there are certain key words that will jump out at you. Encouragement, comfort, fellowship, tenderness, compassion. You see, Paul knew that Christians should be joyful because of these things. Everyone who is in relationship with Jesus Christ, who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, has these things available to them. These are your free gifts, your freebies. If you are here this morning and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, why wait another day? Today should be the great day of your salvation, of you having all that God wants for you in Jesus Christ. And so in verse 1, Paul goes over these things that should be a great source of joy. You see, Paul wanted the Philippians to know that he had a joy that prison couldn't take away from him. And he wanted the Philippians to know that they should have a joy that is not dependent upon circumstances, that no one could take away from them, because that joy is found in Jesus Christ. The Philippians were living in a hard place, a tough spot. This town that they lived in was the place where the Roman generals, when they retired, would be given their retirement estates. How would you like to be a first century Christian living amongst the Roman generals? We know about Rome and what they thought about Christians, right? They would import lions from Africa to do them in, okay? And so Paul understood that the Philippian church was in a hard location, and he was pointing them to joy, a joy that they should have. And he wanted them to be assured that he had this joy in Jesus Christ. You see, the joy that we have in Jesus Christ is not dependent upon life's circumstances. Jesus said that in this world you'll have trouble. But don't worry. I've overcome this world with all of its trouble. Jesus has overcome death. He has given us a joy that is everlasting. A senior missionary early in my missionary career told me, he said, Lowell, a call to missions is a call to heartache. And as I thought about it, I thought, you know, it's true. Jesus talked, he didn't soft pedal it. He talked about a cross. He talked about the fact that following him was going to cost. It was going to be hard. Paul certainly knew hardship in his ministry. But the heartache of missions isn't the whole story. But it's a part of the story that should be mentioned. You see, in our 40 years, we've experienced some heartaches. I've faced arrest and deportation for trying to save lives in the middle of an epidemic. My family was with me, and my mom and another missionary, my kids, my wife, when we were under gunfire for 5 hours with the military on all sides of our house shooting thousands of rounds of ammunition laying flat on the floor. And when we left, we were looted and lost everything that we owned. I was the object of an attempted poisoning that missed me, but it got my son, who almost died. I flew a single-engine airplane over the jungles of Africa for 26 years, and I experienced an engine failure. I witnessed the Rwanda genocide as I stood on the bridge that connects Tanzania with Rwanda over the Kagera River, and looked into the water and saw the river beneath me flowing with dead bodies and body parts. My son-in-law experienced an attempted beheading by the Muslims and was saved only by the Lord Jesus himself. I have faced death threats from supposed Christians and Muslims alike. I have battled witchcraft and cunning and treachery. I've experienced periods when no money at all came in to help us with our ministry. We've had family health crises with no health care available. And I have buried dear Christian African colleagues in martyred missionaries. And the list goes on and on. Some of the hardest things we've faced aren't even on this list. The call to missions is a serious call to heartache, but it's a call to so much more than heartache. And I can say that after 40 years, I agree with the Apostle Paul when he said in chapter 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say rejoice. We have a joy that is not dependent upon life circumstances. But then in verse 2, Paul says, "But yet, it's time to make my joy complete. I have an incomplete joy," Paul told the Philippians. An incomplete joy. In other words, he was saying, there's one more thing here. Sort of reminds me of Steve Jobs when he'd give his famous speeches, and then he would conclude them by saying, "And one more thing," and as he'd reach into his pocket. Paul is saying to them, be like-minded, have the same love, being one in spirit and in purpose. What is the purpose of your church? Your church has many purposes. To take the new believer and build them in the faith, Christian fellowship, to express and show the love of Jesus to one another, to worship with all of our heart and soul. Sunday mornings, we just came through our song time, worship. We have many good things happening here. But what is that great one overarching purpose that Jesus has given to us, not only corporately as a church, but also individually to each of his followers. And that is the Great Commission. The great purpose. Paul was calling the Philippians to action, to that great purpose that he had dedicated his life towards, the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. One purpose in spirit, because we can't do this work without the Holy Spirit. One great purpose. So today you might be here and you might be asking, how does the great purpose of the church, the great purpose that Jesus has for me as an individual, fit in with my life? Here I am in America, and maybe in my youth I felt something, a calling, an inclination, but real life cut in, marriage, kids, job, work, and maybe it's too late. No, it's not too late. You see, God envisions the missionary effort of his followers as being a team effort. Think of World War II. The very existence of our nation was at stake. And we sent soldiers to the front lines. Not everybody can be a missionary to Africa. But every American was involved in the war effort. From victory gardens to war bonds to gathering scrap to women going to work in munition factories, every American was dedicated to winning the war. And thus it is with the missionary team of Jesus Christ. Every follower of Jesus is a member of the team. Unfortunately, some members have chosen to bench themselves. And the time is now to get off the bench and get back in. God has equipped you. He's given you gifts and skills and spiritual gifts and experience and creativity and intellect and resources. And he needs you on this team. The danger is we get so involved with our own lives that we become selfish. We become self-centered. The Bible talks about legitimate self-interest. It says in the scriptures that it is the person who does not take care of his own family is worse. Let me say it again. Worse than an unbeliever. We are given responsibilities by God to our loved ones and to ourselves. And there are legitimate self-interests. But if we stop there, we're in trouble. You see, what Paul is talking about here is not that we don't have responsibilities, but that our responsibilities are greater than we would assume. They go beyond ourselves. And the Great Commission is more than just Jesus' afterthought that he gave as he returned to the Father. The work of the Great Commission is found all throughout the Scriptures. Dr. J. Herbert Kane, the foremost historian of Christian missions in the 20th century, made this statement. He said, God is a missionary God. The Bible is a missionary book. The gospel is a missionary message. Praise God for that. The church is a missionary institution. And when the church ceases to be missionary minded, it has denied its faith and betrayed its trust. And I am so honored this day to be standing in the pulpit of a church that has not denied its faith or betrayed its trust. God bless you for what you have done and what you will do, because you're going to obey the Lord. You see, God knows that just beyond the land of self lies a great adventure for all of us with Him. And if we can move out, not deny our responsibilities, but move beyond them to also the interests of others. What a beautiful way to describe the Great Commission. Also to the interests of others. You know, it's not too late. Several furloughs ago, I was asked to speak in a big, what we call a tall steeple church. Oh, they were so formal. You couldn't preach in that church without being in a robe. So we went to the pastor's office ahead of time so they could get me into a robe. I really don't care what I wear as long as they give me the microphone, you know? And so I went out and I preached my sermon. And then afterwards, we're back in the pastor's office to take the robes off. And the pastor sat down at his desk and he put his arm on his desk and he put his head down on his arm and he started crying. And I said, "Pastor, what's wrong? Why are you crying?" He said, "Lowell, I've wasted my life. I've wasted my ministry. And now I'm just months away from retirement. But I promise you, with God's help today, I will not waste another day." It is never too late to get off the bench and to be on God's team. And then, in the fifth verse, Paul says, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ." The gold standard. Paul, the missionary, takes the gold standard and holds it in front of his beloved Philippians. Jesus. Jesus. That's who we're to be like. That's the attitude we need. The attitude of Jesus. Watchman Nee, the greatest Christian leader in China of the 20th century, who spent the last 20 years of his life in a communist Chinese prison and died there alone, said this: "The right attitude is this: I have my own will, yet I will the will of God." Jesus. Jesus. The author of Hebrews described it this way: "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Jesus, the uniter. Jesus, the comforter. Jesus, the one who is love. Jesus, the tender-hearted. Jesus, the compassionate. Is your God too small today? No. If he is, look to Jesus. If you are in need of a spiritual refresh today, ask Jesus. Do you want joy that is immune to life circumstances? Follow Jesus. Do you want all that God has for you? The key to the abundant and greatest life imaginable. Obey Jesus and serve him with the Great Commission. Jesus. is wanting us. Jesus wants us to have his attitude today. So I stand before you once again to come circle back to where I started, to say thank you. You see, Christians are growing in the faith. Muslims are being swept into the kingdom of God. People's lives are being saved, suffering alleviated. And it's because you have been loving Jesus and doing what he wants you to do. And so, on behalf of all those thousands who can't be here today to give you a personal thank you, I am here to represent them and to say thank you on their behalf. You will probably, this side of eternity, not meet them. But on the other side of eternity, they will seek you out and say thank you. Thank you for Jesus.
Father, thank you so much for this testimony and message this morning, God. What a gravity in our hearts that it causes, God, for us to pause and understand that there are thousands and thousands that are reached with the gospel because of this couple. Father, we thank you for what's happening there. We pray an extension and a blessing, Lord, as they return. Father, that you would double their efforts, Lord. We pray for an increase in their efforts, God. We pray, Lord, as the time grows near for your return, Jesus, that you would touch and continue to touch the people that they're affecting, Father. Thank you for the government coming in and announcing and giving them the best advertisement that they could possibly have. God, we give you the glory and honor for them. We thank you for joy in the harvest. Thank you for the challenge to our spirits this morning. May we never forget. May we continue to honor our missionaries as being those that are in the front, Father, going forth in obedience to you. In Jesus' name, amen. We thank you, Lo and Claudia, for being here. Make sure and stop out at the table visit for a little bit and greet the Wurtzes. God bless you, and we'll see you on Wednesday evening.